the word. Thank you. Well, listen, let's look at Acts 4 and verse 13, and we're going to get started. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Somebody say, they had been with Jesus. All right. Father, we pray you add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of your word. Bind the devil out of them, our midst, God, and every nymph spirit, every wicked principality in his kingdom, God. Let no weapon formed against us prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us, let it be condemned, Father God. Bless us, hear your people, God, as we open up your word. Reveal to us the mystery of the ages, God. Sanctify us with thy truth. Thy word is thy truth. And oh, God, save souls to the glory of your son, Jesus Christ, and God our Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Do it today in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, you know we've been in the book of Acts, and in chapter 3, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray. As they were going to pray, amen, they found a man lame, paralyzed from his mother's womb, amen, all of his life. And while he was there, the man was asking for donations. He was asking for alms. Peter and John look upon him and say, "Silver and gold have we none, but that which we have we give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yahshua HaMashiach, rise up and walk." And the Bible says that the man was instantly healed. It was a dramatic and it was an awesome, impossible miracle that took place. The crowd saw it. They began to congregate around Peter and John, and Peter begins to preach. And what does he preach? He preaches the cross. He preaches the gospel. He preaches Jesus Christ and him crucified, but he also preaches the resurrection. And he told them that if they would turn to Christ, that they could be saved and all of their sins and iniquities should be covered and blotted out. The Bible says that 5,000 people were saved at that one sermon, at that one preaching event. But after the salvation happens, you know, the devil is always looking to cause some trouble after God's people do something good. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that they arrested Peter and John, apprehended them, handcuffed them, brought them down to the prison. They spent the night in prison. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible tells us that in the morning, somebody say in the morning. Hallelujah. Jar coming in the morning. In the morning, they brought him before the Sanhedrin, which was the most powerful, educated men in Israel of that day. The Bible says that the Sanhedrin had two questions. They wanted to know by what power, and then secondly, they wanted to know by what name. And Peter shows them both. Peter shows them the power because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter tells them the name. And that's when Peter says, "Neither is there any name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Amen. And it's the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Peter told him off, boy. He gave him the gospel right in front of all of the most powerful, the most educated men of his time. The Bible tells us in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," and we talked about boldness. And I want to tell you, Philly, listen, as a church, y'all operated in boldness this week. To go out there and have that campaign and to go out to some of the worst neighborhoods in our city, passing out flyers, y'all operated in the Acts boldness of the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God some glory, amen? Yeah. I heard some of y'all, even when we didn't go as a team, some of y'all was handing out invitations on your own, going to neighborhoods on your own, in Walmart on your own. And I praise God for that. Hallelujah. And if you want to hear the message on boldness, you can get the CD or get online and check it out. The Bible says they saw the boldness in John, but here it is. Here's where we want to be. And they perceived that they were unlearned, ignorant men, and they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. And so this morning's message is going to be, hallelujah, called Unlearned and Ignorant Men. The first point is going to be unlearned men. The second point is going to be ignorant men. And the third point, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So let's begin with our first point, unlearned men. And the Bible says in 4:13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned." Unlearned men. The word here for unlearned is unschooled. It means to be without learning. It even could mean to be unlettered or illiterate. When the Bible says that the Sanhedrin perceived that Peter and John were unlearned, it means that these group of highly educated postgraduate men realized that Peter and John were uneducated men. They had no formal schooling. They were not brought up like Paul at the feet of the rabbi Gamaliel. They were not part of the rabbinical schools like Halal, the famous ones at that time. Nobody knew them. Nobody could say he was under my tutelage. Nobody could say that. There's no college that can claim him. No university that can claim him. Neither a high school that can claim him. They had never studied the Levitical law. Never had formal training in the sacred laws of the Torah, the Pentateuch. Amen. They were fishermen. Fishermen by trade. Not raised, amen, to be theological titans of their day, but raised to cast a net on the Sea of Galilee. They were raised for it. In all actuality, their fathers were fishermen, and they were fishermen. They wasn't born for nothing great, and for sure they wasn't born for nothing great in ministry or in the church of the living God. The Bible says that they were unlearned men. But I want to tell you, if God be for you, who can be against you? I want to tell you that God can raise up prophets out of the field of Tekoa, shepherds from the fields of Bethlehem. And these fishermen, these blue-collar men, these men with calluses on their hands, sun-beaten face, not used to being on the inside, under the shade, reading the text of scriptures, never was supposed to be leading anybody in anything spiritual. These men stood up before the doctors in the law of God, the PhDs. Stood up before the scribes, the lawyers, the doctors, the PhDs. And they gave a presentation of the gospel using the Old Testament Torah law to such an extent that the doctors of the law, after they were finished, could not even respond to these fishermen. Had to call a timeout and say, y'all get out of here while we have a conference about what y'all just told us. What you saying, Pastor? I am telling you that God is able to take a regular, ordinary person with no education or hardly any education at all, and stand you up before Harvard, Yale, Stanford, Princeton, and any other university that you want to talk about, and put them all to shame to the glory of Almighty God. You got to hear me up in here. This teaches us, listen, that it is possible for a man or a woman never to attend formal schooling, formal seminary, formal postgraduate college, hallelujah, graduate school studies, and to come to such an understanding of God without all the institutions of men, but come to such an understanding of God that they put those that's been trained by men to utter shame and total silence and quietness. Yes, God can do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give God some glory. Listen to me. Just like myself, my wife, Dr. Groh, tell you, we all tell you up in here, there's nothing wrong with schooling, friends. There's nothing wrong to be a doctor. There's nothing wrong with being a lawyer. There's nothing wrong with having your master's and this and that. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. But we've been having a problem in academia. We have been acting like knowledge began with us. We have been acting like you cannot get knowledge or understanding on wisdom unless you come to our schools and sit in our classes and receive our credentials. The devil is a liar up in here. Listen to me now. Don't you ever be deceived and fooled as though human institutions invented knowledge, as though they were the only places you could go to get knowledge. My Bible tells me in Proverbs 2:6 in the Psalms that knowledge has never began with man. Knowledge comes from the Most High God. The Bible says, for the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his own mouth cometh what? Cometh knowledge and understanding. Don't you ever feel like you can't do something. Don't you ever feel like you're lower than, less than somebody who got a little piece of paper. If you can, get you some education. But if you can't, don't mean God can't use you. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, give him some glory in this house. Yeah. The Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth come knowledge. I love the Psalm 94. When it says that, shall not he that formed the eye, shall he not see? Shall not he that planted the ear, shall he not hear? And in Psalm 94, it tells us, hallelujah, shall not he, a God, that teacheth man what? Knowledge. Shall he not know? God is the one who knowledge comes from. Before him, we didn't know nothing. Before him, we was nothing. If anybody know anything, it's because God sprinkled a little knowledge on them. And when I say a little, I mean a little. Because the Bible has a phrase, a word that we call our God. We call him omniscient. We serve an omniscient God. Omniscient, omni means all. Omniscient means knowledge. When I say omniscient, it means that we don't serve a God with some knowledge. We serve a God with all knowledge. Means that he knows everything, and there's not anything that has ever happened that he does not know. He knows the ingredient to every secret sauce that McDonald's can make. He knows every single blueprint where the air conditioners go. He knows every inch, diameter, inch or centimeter. He knows everything. And he is the one who teaches men knowledge. Come on, give God some glory. Yeah. They act like you going to their school is the beginning of knowledge. When my Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Yes, my friends. The institutions of men have persuaded us that the only way that you can achieve knowledge and do anything great is if you don their doors and sit in their desks and listen to their instructors. While this might not be wrong to do, listen, don't you ever make school a God. And don't you ever get confused that God is school. Oh, no, my friend. No, my friend. Our God can teach a donkey to talk. You with me so far? Hallelujah. God can teach a man. He will do you like Moses and bring you to the burning bush university. Do you like John the Baptist and bring you to Wilderness U. God will bring you like his disciples to the College of the Mount of Olives. Amen. And he'll teach you there what you need to know. Amen. And like Peter and John, you'll put them to silence. I have a list, amen, of men of God. Hallelujah. And we'll talk about some women of God as well later who turned the world upside down in their day. Amen. And didn't, Sergio, have all of the formal training like so many of them brag about their PhDs. They got more degrees than a thermometer, but less anointing, amen, than a dead fish. You with me so far? Listen, what we need today is not more degrees. We need more anointing, amen. The church is more educated than it's ever been educated before, but it's less anointed than it's ever been anointed before. It's God, my friend, that gives anointing. It's God that gives power to give life, give men life. Amen. A degree can't raise the dead, my friend. It's only God that can raise the dead. Yes, when I look at our history, in the church especially, there was a man by the name of A.W. Tozer who was probably one of the prolific pastors and preachers of his day. Amen. And Tozer wrote many books. He was the editor-in-chief of a magazine, and he did great things. And still to this day, I study his material when preparing for sermons, and I read his books, especially on prayer and the Holy Ghost. Tozer was an apostle. You know what I'm saying? Now, let me tell you how much education Tozer had. Tozer had an eighth-grade education. Eighth grade. He attended high school, but only a few weeks. Now listen, they got some children here listening and they're saying, Mom, I told you I should drop out. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. If you can go to school, go to school and stay in school. But don't ever limit yourself by your schooling. All right? All right? Okay, John Bunyan. Some of y'all might not have heard of John Bunyan. All right? John Bunyan, amen. He was a preacher, an author of over 60 works. He learned only to read and write, y'all. He had no formal education, no training. He never learned Greek or Hebrew, never went to seminary. But John Bunyan was the author of a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. Say that with me. Pilgrim's Progress. Some of y'all don't know what that book is. But every Christian should have Pilgrim's Progress on his bookshelf. You see what I'm saying? The best-selling book in our world right now is number one, the Bible. You want to know what number two is? Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan only had probably like a third or fourth grade education, only knew how to read and write, but wrote a book that would touch the church and through allegory and symbolism show us what the Christian walk of life looks like. And that book has blessed me so much. Still, I open the book and turn to it. We read our book to the book to our children. You see what I'm saying? Listen, don't let the devil lie to you that you can't make a difference. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Here's another one. D.L. Moody. His name is Dwight L. Moody. Amen. He was the Billy Graham of the 1800s. He reached 100 million people with the gospel, Montgomery, before there was radio or TV. He was preaching to them. You know what I'm saying? This dude, amen, began, hallelujah, preaching with only a fifth grade education. He founded three schools, y'all. He founded a religious publishing company called Moody Press. He founded Moody Bible Institute, which puts out correct doctrine into the church. And he also had, hallelujah, Moody radio stations all over the country and all over the world. Fifth grade education with no theological training. And he reshaped Christianity in the 1800s. The dude was phenomenal. Unlearned men. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But you have allowed the institutions of men to put a limit on you, to tell you what you can and cannot do. Don't ever let the devil put a limit on you, Christian, for God has given you the limitless, which is his spirit living inside of you. And you should say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anybody hear me up in here? Charles Spurgeon was another one in the 1800s. He was called the Prince of Preachers. Y'all, we still use Spurgeon notes in sermons to this day. And anytime you hear a preacher quote Spurgeon, it's going to be something with so much fire and so much goodness in it. Spurgeon was perennial in his day, y'all, at the Metropolitan Tabernacle Church in London. The church is still there, you see. Spurgeon, hallelujah, didn't graduate from college, didn't go to seminary, started preaching when he was 16, amen. But like I say, became one of the world's greatest preachers. He opened a college. Like, I'm not saying college is bad. He opened a college so other people can go. You see what I'm saying? He wrote many books, poetry, hymns, and more. These are just examples, y'all, of people like Peter and John, who didn't have all the credentials, didn't have all the letters behind their name, but still did great things for Almighty God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now, as your pastor, let me tell you the greatest thing you can do. The best thing is, yeah, go ahead. Go to one of these institutions. Get you some type of degree or diploma or get you a trade. That's great. Why not learn and get the knowledge from God? I think that'd be probably the best, you know what I'm saying? But to do that, you got to be humble. You got to not think yourself too big because you got a few letters behind your name. You see? I'm offering you, don't do just one or the other. You could do both. But if I had to choose one or the other, I would choose to be educated by God. Come on, give me glory. Give God glory. Give God glory. Hallelujah. Now listen, 1 Corinthians 26, chapter 1, verse 26, it says this. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So it's not many astute academic people called because they think they're too much already. Now, why it says it's not many, that don't mean it's none. Because Paul was academic. Paul was a doctor of the law. Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was one of the ones that say, I'll take both of them and let's see what God can do with me. You know what I'm saying? Now look at 1:27. The Bible says, but God had chosen what? The foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That's what he's doing through Peter and John. The foolish things, ordinary men, looking at uneducated men to confound the wise, hush them up. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Look at 28. It tells us, hey God, and the base things, the low things, the things which are despised, you ain't nothing, had God chosen, yea, those things which are not, you'll never be nothing. God has chosen that to bring to naught the things that are. In verse 29, God says this, why did you do it, God? That no flesh should glory in my presence. He does it so that he can get all the glory. Come on, give God some glory in this house. Amen. John MacArthur says God chooses weak instruments so no one will attribute the power to the instrument, but rather the God that holds and wills the instrument. He will get all the glory. It makes me think, Ms. Leola and Brother Sam, about the Hebrews. And when I think about our people, how we may not be as a people the most educated people. Sergio, we don't fill the roles of Harvard, and we're not the majority of Stanford. We're not the majority, Anna, of Princeton. We don't fill those roles. But even though as a people we might not be the most educated, this Bible verse teaches us that God can use the unlearned. God can use those that are not in Ivy League colleges, and he can change the world. He can flip the church. He can flip the script, and he can do it through us, my friends. Oh, somebody got to hear me up in here. They say, how will the Hebrews unite? How will we change the world? They look like they ain't got nothing, and they never been nothing. If God be for us, who can be against us? Give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you might have a dream to do something great. Don't let nothing stop your dream. Here's the revelation that we get, a second revelation we get from this. It not only teaches us that a man or a woman could not be university material and still do things great for God, but it also teaches us that it is highly possible that sometimes the institutions of men can get corrupted and polluted. And instead of learning about the Lord, they can get so caught up on learning, they could be ever learning but never come into the knowledge of the truth. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. It happens, y'all. It happened in our Bible. Here we have Mr. Seymour, some of the greatest educational minds sitting before Peter and John. But in the things of God, they're the most foolish. God was walking on their streets, healing people in their midst, eating at the table with them. But they were so smart, they was dumb. They were so smart, they couldn't see him. What's the revelation? As you go to university, be careful. As you go to college, be careful. As you go to and get your schooling, be careful. Don't ever let an institution pull you away from what you know about God. You with me so far? Don't ever let that happen. Get yourself an education, but don't let them uneducate you about the things of the Most High. That's what some of them do. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees do. Jesus, while he was alive, he told them, listen, you take one and you make him a proselyte, amen, and you cross land and sea to go give him, but you make him twice the son of hell than you was. Your institution not making better Christians, they making worse. And I'm going to tell you, they got some colleges like that, and they got some seminaries like that. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Pastor, can growing in knowledge without God lead me away from God? Oh, yeah, friends. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, the Bible says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, look what it says, the world by wisdom knew not God. By their own wisdom, their own intellect, they knew him not. The more they knew, the further they got away from him. The Bible in Romans 1:22 says this, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And Dr. Groh will tell you, my wife will tell you, we be in some of these classes and some of these meetings, and the people that seem to be the smartest are the most foolish in the things of God. Don't you ever be like that. Don't you ever be like that. Go ahead, get your education. But don't ever let them undo this education. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. We're going to move on to our second point. But for those who want to study it deeper, realize who controlling the institutions of learning in our country. I showed you the protocols and showed you how the Ashkenazis have infiltrated our universities and our schools for our children. It was one of the things that they say they would do in the early 1900s, and they have done it. They have invaded our schools, but not just our schools. They have already also invaded our Christian seminaries. Do you not know a retired general says this about them? There is hardly a Christian seminary in any denomination that is today free from Ashkenazi Jewish influence. They even control in the places that's educating the pastors. That's why all the pastors come out, and they could never say nothing bad about those imposters in Israel. That's why all the pastors come out, like myself, and as soon as they come out, they want to give to those imposters in Israel. But I thank God that my God sit high, but he looked down low. Amen. Hallelujah. And he can re-educate us, even though we've been educated wrongly. Let's get to our second point of the morning. The Bible tells us that they were not only unlearned men, but they were what? They were ignorant men. Now, this word ignorant probably, and I don't disagree with the King James too often, is probably not the best transliteral, amen, interpretation of the Greek right here. Unlearned and ignorant men. This word ignorant in the Greek is idios. And that's probably why they termed it ignorant. Because idios sounds like our English word, idiot. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm joking. All right. But this word in the Greek, idios, means that a person has no specialization. They are non-professional. They have no particular skill that sets them apart from anybody else. In the newer translations, they don't translate it as unlearned and ignorant. They translate it as unlearned and ordinary. Somebody say ordinary. This word, ignorant, should be that they were unlearned and ordinary, that they were common, that they were normal, they were regular men. Nothing special about them. When the Sanhedrin saw Peter and John, they said, not only are they uneducated, but they're not special. They're just regular folk. And me, I praise God that God still uses regular folk. Ordinary men and ordinary women. I love that. I love that God is not waiting for a superstar to change the world. Now listen to me. You sit in front of that devil vision for hours. That television I'm talking about. And you go to Redbox, you get movies, and when a good movie come out, Batman versus Superman or whatever, you're the first one in line to go watch that thing. Listen to me good. Those movies put out an anti-God message. Yeah, it does. It does. Our Bible teaches us that God will take a regular person, a mama, you know, a daddy, a housewife, a person who hang on a trash truck, a janitor, a maintenance man, a teacher in a school. That's what our Bible teaches us. But here we are, Brother Mitchell, as we sit in front of that devil vision shows us heroes and what they look like. And how they don't look like regular people. The heroes that's in the movies, brother got a six-pack on a six-pack. He don't look like regular people. The hero in the movie, sister, is a size negative two. You understand what I'm saying? She don't look like regular people. But God is saying, listen, I'm going to choose the brother with the love hands. I'm going to choose the brother and the sister that's over a size two. I'm going to choose the regular person. Amen. And that's who I'm going to use. That's what our Bible says. You ain't got to look like the Superman. You ain't got to look like Batman. You ain't got to be from another planet, from a galaxy far, far away. You could be from the hood, Macomb, VZ, from Trash Pop. You could just be a regular person from New Iberia. And God say, I can work with that. See, but when you spend time in front of that listen, I get disgusted with it these days. I don't even like to watch it, Dan. I don't like to watch it. Because when you're off of it so long, it's a terrible message that is trying to teach me and my children. That heroes don't look like me. That they don't sound like me. That people who change the world, amen, might not be my size, my height, my gender, my ethnicity, my hair color, the way I talk. Heroes don't look like that on TV. So our children watch that, and subconsciously, now they would never say it, but subconsciously, if trouble happened, they looking for a hero when God said a hero is you. Yes. That devil vision. False religion does the same thing. The old churches we used to go to and the false religion we used to worship make us think that you got to be special to approach God. You can't even talk to God yourself. You can't read your Bible and understand it for yourself. Only a certain select group of people can do that for you. And if you need to talk to God, we'll bring you in this little box and we'll talk with him for you. The devil is a liar. God looking for ordinary people, regular people, normal people that he could talk to and move through for his glory, friends. They were ordinary, unlearned men, and for that matter, women in our Bible. As I look through my Bible, David was ordinary. So ordinary, he was in the field as a shepherd boy. He come to the anointing party smelling the outside. Boy, listen. Irregular. Not only was David regular, but God used him to do extraordinary things. Moses was regular. You say, well, Pastor, but he was educated in Egypt. He was still regular. Because when God said, go talk to Pharaoh, he said, who am I that I should talk to Pharaoh? And God, I'm a man slow of speech. I don't like public speaking, he could have been saying. He could have been saying, I'm slow of speech. I got a stuttering problem. He could have been saying, I got this lisp. I got a tied tongue. My tongue heavy. I don't pronounce on my words direct. A regular person. But God saying, I don't care about your speech impediment. Your fear of public speaking. Your badib, badib, badib. That's all, folks. God say, I don't care about none of that. Who had made man mouth? I use regular people with regular hang-ups, regular missteps, regular sins, regular mistakes. That's the people I'm looking for, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I serve. David, Moses, Gideon, Elijah, Esther, Ruth, Rahab. Rahab was real regular. Just a regular chick. Nehemiah, regular. Who you looking for to make change up in here? Who you looking for to change the situation that we living in? Look, you're looking for somebody. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Nehemiah was he would pour the king Kool-Aid. He was a butler. He was a cupbearer. We look at Nehemiah, oh, he's this and that. He was Carlton. And one day, the king look at him and say, Carlton, Nehemiah, why are you so upset? You see, because God give burdens to ordinary people. Oh, God, I'm receiving mail. I'm receiving first service, they're going to hear it. But look, your burden is where your anointing is. Whatever bothers you is where you anointed at. Whatever's bothering you. You see, I'm bothered by the plight of my people. I'm bothered when I ride through the hood and see them with their pants sagging selling drugs. I'm bothered when I walk through the jails and see them locked up. I'm bothered when I see single women with no daddies. I'm bothered. I'm burdened by it. I'm burdened by it. We weep at night for it. And we looking for somebody to sin, and God said, I'm wanting to send you. I've given you the burden for it. What is your burden this morning? And you can have many. I got a burden for the word of God, a burden for prayer, a burden for being in his presence. What is your burden? What is your burden? You see, Nehemiah had a burden. He said, Nehemiah, what's your problem? Why is your face like it is? He said, how can I be happy when the walls of my city are down? When robbers and thieves and marauders are coming in and ransacking my city, how can I be happy when Zion is in the shape it's in? How can I be happy? And there, God takes an ordinary man with a God burden and sends him back to the land of his nativity. And he rebuilds the walls of Zion. He rebuilds the wall of Jerusalem. And the hallelujah, people of God begin to come back. Hey, after the Babylonian disaster. But ordinary men, ordinary women, ordinary people in heaven, God began to show me this. At Philly, don't you know that we are just an ordinary church? We just ordinary. We just ordinary. That's why the people love us so much when we go pass out flyers. Yeah. We're not coming in their neighborhoods floating on the ground. Ooh. We're not wearing nothing different than them. Them boys holler at me, what's up? Oh, what's happening? What's happening? We ordinary people, man. Listen, what I got on the inside of me, I ain't got to tell you what it is. I ain't got to try to act like I'm something. I'm regular, man. If it's inside of me, it's going to come out when it's ready to come out. I'm regular. Besides that, I'm regular. I'm ordinary. I'm a jar of clay, man. The glory is not the jar. The glory is the excellency inside. We ordinary church. That's why people, when they come in, we're a little different than other churches. We just regular people, man. Regular people. Got our ups and our downs like everybody else. Not trying to act better than nobody else. I mean, we regular people, man. You know? And as we fellowship with the rest of the churches, listen, we kind of like a David church. We wasn't invited to the anointing party. I didn't grow up under the feet of all of these famous pastors, the anointed and the this and the that. I wasn't under them. I wasn't a youth pastor here. I wasn't the associate pastor there. I wasn't that. Listen, I was a lawyer. And I was happy doing what I was doing. What I'm trying to tell you is you can be ordinary. And you could be regular. And when God get tired of the professional church people, when he get tired of those, amen, that do church like church do it, when he wants something, hey, God, out of the ordinary, when he wants somebody, hey, God, that's going to do it his way and not the way that it's already been done, he going to call a prophet like Amos out of the fields of Tekoa, out of sheetrock, out of construction, out of plumbing, out of the trash truck. Hey, he's going to call. That's when he want to do something great. You see, the Pharisees and Sadducees, they looked at John and Peter as ordinary men because, listen, before anybody could do something in Israel, they had to approve them and they had to raise them up. But the problem is waiting for corrupt men to raise up other men. They corrupt, and a clean thing can't come from an unclean thing. And so when they raise you up, they unclean, they're going to make you unclean, and your church going to be like their church, and their church going to be like your church. God said, forget that. I'm going to do a new thing in Lafayette. It reminds me of Martin Luther and the Reformation. Come forth. Come forth out of that. You don't need no approval from nobody. Come forth. I'm going to be your approval. Don't let them empty hands lay their hands on you. Come forth. Come forth. That's empty hands. Come forth. Listen to me. Regular people. A regular church. For the glory of Almighty God. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. Listen, as we look at each other, our differences are amplified. Because we on each other level. And we see one with long hair, one with short hair, one bright, one brown, one with this and that. But listen, from God's vantage point from heaven, as he looked down upon us, he don't see who got weave and who don't have weave and who got eyelash, who don't have eyelash. He don't see that. It's like you looking at an ant pile after you have disturbed it. All the ants look the same. But to the ants, they're not the same. To the ants, they're all different. I wish we can go down there and look at them. Ants with afro, ants with sideburn, some with, you know what I'm saying? But to us, from our vantage point, they all look the same. Listen, you think you can't do nothing big from God because you're looking at everybody else and everybody else so different and they dressed up and they all this and that. But from God's vantage point, that's just another ant. And I'll use one ant or the other ant, one jar of clay or the other jar of clay. It don't matter with me. I told you the omniscient, there's another omni. The other omni is omnipotent. And the omni means all, the potent means power, and our God has all power. And it don't matter to him which vessel, which ant, which jar of clay he used. Because it's not their power that's going to bring the change to pass. So if he used this one or that one or the other one. Or if he say, forget about it, I'm going to use a donkey to speak my message. He can raise up seed for Abraham from these stones. He can make that chair come alive and start revival. To God, it don't matter. He has all the power. So listen, renew your mind right now. You might be like Peter and John, unlearned, uneducated. But don't ever let the devil lie to you. Don't make a god of institutions. And don't you ever limit the power of Almighty God. God will take you. And he'll turn the world upside down. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. As I look throughout history, I see regular chicks and regular dudes. Harriet Tubman, regular chick. Underground Railroad. You know what I'm saying? Abraham Lincoln, regular dude. Lost every election before he won the presidency. Regular dude with a regular marriage. His wife worked on his nerves. You with me so far? Mary? Read about Mary Lincoln. Woo-hoo. You understand what I'm saying? With marriage problems and all, change our country, freed the slaves, and ushered in a new era of American freedom. I'm telling you, ordinary people, Ulysses S. Grant, amen, a drunk. A drunk and a failure in business. Bankrupt. Couldn't open a business that would succeed. But would become one of the greatest generals of American history. The only general that could match up with the other greatest general in American history, which was Robert E. Lee. Nobody else could stand up to him. Grant, a drunk, a failure, called up for such a time as this. An ordinary, regular man stood up against slavery and oppression and helped change the world. Later, he would become the president of the United States. His counterpart down south that led, amen, the scourge on the south that helped, amen, the burning of Atlanta and all the other Confederate states, hallelujah, and major cities, Tecumseh Sherman. He helped Grant get Lee to surrender. But did you know that Tecumseh Sherman, that great general, had mental problems? Did you know that he lost his mind a few times? Had some nervous breakdowns, was disturbed psychiatrically. And we got some of you in here, amen. And a lot of people tell you, you're a few marbles short of a whole pack. And I understand that. And every now and then you click. And some, you know, they tell you you're bipolar, I'm more on the quad, you're tripolar. Amen. And I'm telling you, that's how Sherman was. Ordinary people with ordinary problems, called by God, filled with his power for a purpose, doing extraordinary things. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yes. Rosa Parks was the same way. Ordinary woman on a bus coming home from work, man. And just through the power of God, making a stand, getting the back. Nah. Enough is enough. And listen, man. That was the start, amen, of God changing, hallelujah, the evil forces of discrimination, and prejudice in our country. Who are you? Who are you in here? Tyrone, we don't know who we in the presence of in here. I could be talking to somebody on the back row or in the middle, just sitting here. Listen, for all practical purposes, a nobody. And those nobodies are the ones that God want to use. Listen. In a lot of churches I was in the back sitting down. I wasn't part of the ministerial staff in a lot of these churches. I was sitting in the back. I came to get a word. I wonder who would be the next generation's Billy Graham, the next generation's pastor, the next generation's prophet, prophetess. And you thought you was nothing. John MacArthur says it clearly. I call him J-Mac. J-Mac says, God's favorite instruments are nobodies, so that no man can boast before God. In other words, God chooses whom he chooses so that he might receive the most glory. And it's only a nobody that's going to give him the most glory. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. You see, as the Hebrews, we kind of a nobody type of people. We not the ones on the silver screen. We rarely ever the hero in the movie. And if we are the hero, amen, it's going to be like that movie with Will Smith, The Hero Was a Fool, amen, who couldn't control his power. I forgot the name of it. Hancock, yeah. We just kind of ordinary people. We don't have the best hair by the standards of the world today. The best complexion. You see? Oftentimes you could be someplace and they walk right by you. But I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that because the very place where you least expect God, the very place you least expect God to move, that's normally where God moves. Now, some of y'all new to the faith, so you don't understand what I'm saying. But as you read your Bible and you get to know the character and the person of God, God is an underdog type of a God. He always chooses the one that nobody expects to win. He chooses the one, the people that nobody expects to do anything, a slave nation out of Egypt. He said, you're going to be my people. And I'm going to give you a promised land. And I'm going to raise up some of the best kings out here, and I'm going to produce the Old Testament. And then out of you, I'm going to choose Judah, and I'm going to bring my son through, Jesus Christ. And when I bring him, I'm not going to bring him as a king. I'm going to bring him as a carpenter, born to a 13, 14, 15-year-old little girl who has absolutely nothing. Broke, poor, don't have a place to lay her head, amen. Don't have enough money to get a room in the inn. You understand what I'm saying? Born in a manger amongst the animals. You know what I'm saying? No doctors that a hand on him. Hallelujah. He was a man acquainted with grief, acquainted with our sufferings. We would look upon him, amen, and there would be no beauty about him, no comeliness, no majesty, amen. Our God is a God that takes the low and make it high. Take the last and make it first. When you know his character, when you know his M.O., listen to me now. Be ordinary. Be low. Be humble. Be regular. Because our God uses regular people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the blessing is, if you got degrees like myself and everything like that, if you could have all that and still be down to earth and still love your people and still be down there for your people, taking your people in, sleeping at your house. And, well, if you could do all of that with that, or you're cooking with some grease too. I'm talking about Crisco oil. You cook it. Third and final point. Unlearn. Ignorant or ordinary. The Bible says they had been with Jesus. The Bible tells us that these unlearned and ignorant men, after they spoke, they did the miracle. The Bible says that the Sanhedrin marveled. Somebody say marveled. That means that they were shocked, in awe, exasperated, just like, what in the world? Speechless. Because of the authority, the power, the clarity, the intellect that was displayed in the breaking down of the Old Testament prophecies about Messiah. They were aghast by how these ordinary, unlearned, uneducated fishermen can come up in here, tell them off with the scriptures, and they don't have nothing to say. The Bible says they marveled. They were shocked. I want to tell you something, Christian. Does your life shock people? Does your life shock people? You see? See, in my Bible, the Bible says that the people who know their God will do great exploits. That's what my Bible says. So, yes, we ordinary, amen, but because we serve a extraordinary God, that our ordinary lives, there's going to be some flashes of the extraordinary. I'm asking you this morning, do people look at your life and see extraordinary out of ordinary? Do they see the beauty for the ashes? Do they see, hallelujah, hummingbirds in the hood? Do they see things that's not supposed to be in your life? Do they look at you and say, you never should have made it? Do they look at that? Do they look at you and say, you shouldn't be living in this house? Do they look at you and say, you shouldn't be driving this car? Do they look at you and say, you shouldn't be healed and alive today? Do they look at you and say, you shouldn't have this husband and you shouldn't have this wife and you shouldn't have this degree and you shouldn't be living in this neighborhood? Do they look at you and say, they shouldn't? Do they look at you and see that? In the life of every Christian, the world should be marveling at God's handiwork in your life. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And I believe in my spirit, that's how we are as a church. They shouldn't. They shouldn't be. It shouldn't be packed like that on Tuesdays for Bible study. It shouldn't be two services in this building. It shouldn't be a campaign like that with all. They shouldn't be giving calls out. They shouldn't be walking in the hood. It just shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. You see, when they start talking like what shouldn't be in your life, that's when you know God is with you, my friends. That's when you know God is with you. All right? I'm asking you a question. Are people marveling over the great exploits of God in your life? You see? Let me tell you the secret behind that. Let me tell you the secret behind God doing great things for you that'll leave people, listen, mouth open. That's for you? He did what? What's the secret to that? Listen, I'm going to give it to you. They were marveled by unlearned and ignorant men. But the Bible says they took knowledge of them. Here's the secret. That they had been with Jesus. Hey! Hey! You want God to do something great in your ordinary life. You got to be with Jesus, baby. You got to be with Jesus. You got to spend time with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. So many churches don't even mention Jesus. That's why they're not doing great things. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto. They had been with Jesus. Now listen to me. Let me break it down to you. Who want to be great in here? Who want to do extraordinary things? Who want to live a life that's not mediocre and mundane? Here's the secret. They had been with Jesus. Now let me break it down. I'm going to talk to people, amen, who are not saved first. You're in here and you're not saved. You don't know him. You don't read his Bible. You don't come to church. You're not saved. Or maybe from your lifestyle. You ain't born again. You're still living a ratchet life in sin. And I'm going to tell you, man, don't expect to do anything great for God or anything great in the world until you get saved and be with Jesus. You with me so far? So the first step to doing something great, to being with Jesus, is salvation. 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 Hallelujah. And when we say salvation, salvation is easy, saints. You admit that you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried in the grave, and on the third day he rose. Don't believe with your head, believe with your heart. A belief so strong that if they so say find Jesus' body, you tell them, look, churches just had a special back then because that ain't nothing but chicken that you found. Because my Lord is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints and waiting till his enemies become his footstool so he can come and get me. Hey, God, you admit and you believe with all your heart that what the Bible said about Jesus is true. After you believe, you open your mouth and you confess. You say Jesus is Lord. That's why we have your prayer up here. Lord, I believe. And you confess it. You see what I'm saying? For out of the abundance of the heart, amen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Meaning that if you truly believe something, it's going to come out of your mouth. Amen. That's why confession is important. Now, the Bible says, come on, saints, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. We got first responders. They're going to take care of that. Don't let the devil steal. How to be great. Amen. We're going to take care of that. We're going to take care of that. Focus. Focus. Lord, we pray right now, God, for this situation. We cover it with the blood, Father God, and ask that you would take care of it, King of Kings. Now, Father, let not one of your words fall to the ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Heal our sister. Take away those seizures right now, God. Devil, you can't have our sister. In the mighty name of Jesus, we command you right now to loose her body. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he sent his word and it healed them in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Come on, chase that devil out of here. Come on, chase that devil off our sister's body right now. Hey! So where we were talking about they had been with Jesus and salvation. You admit, you believe, and you confess. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou believe in thine heart, that's one stage, but confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we admit, we believe, we confess to be saved. I'm going to have an altar call in a second. And all those that want to be great, but you're not saved yet, you're going to come to this altar. We're going to pray. You're going to believe in your heart. You're going to be saved. And you're going to reach that threshold where God can make you great. All right? Now to my Christians up in here. There's a greater level than salvation. There's some things you can do to even get that greater anointing. The Bible says, Christian, even after salvation, the Bible says they had been with Jesus. Christian, let me ask you, are you spending time with Jesus? Are you spending time with Jesus? It is the secret to being great. You got to spend time with him. That's why they could do things that made them marvel. Because they spent time with Jesus. Listen, in this crazy world, you got to carve out some time for Jesus. Especially if you want to do something great. If you just want to live a low-level life, if you want to be a catfish Christian, a bottom dweller, amen, hallelujah, just eating the scraps from the church, yeah, you can do that. But if you want to be them salmon in the Pacific that's jumping in the rivers and doing great things for God, amen, hallelujah, you're going to have to spend some time with Jesus. Well, how do I do it, Pastor? In prayer. Yeah. Every day you decide, ordinary life, extraordinary life. And this is the decision. Prayer or no prayer? No prayer, ordinary. Prayer, extraordinary. They had been with Jesus. Those days and those mornings you spend time in prayer with God, God is opening up doors to do great things by you. Let me tell you, some of the days where God do the greatest things through me, I done spent the most time with him. You see? Prayer. And it's not just individual prayer in your closet, no. But come to Thursday prayer. Great things. Not just Thursday prayer, come to 12 noon prayer. Great things. The Bible says that God, hallelujah, is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. When you press in to God in prayer, he's going to do something great through you. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Yeah. They had been with Jesus, not only prayer, but the word. Listen to me. When you open up that Bible and spend time in that word, guess who you're spending time with? Jesus. Because who's the word? Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. And 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. Because some of y'all are saying, we can't be like the apostles because they had Jesus. You got Jesus too, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. And they only spent 3 years with Jesus. You could spend the rest of your life with Jesus. Amen. Every day, all day, reading that Bible. And I want to tell you, the more you spend time reading, you are moving up on the ladder to do great things. He told it to Joshua. He said, I want you to be in my word. Meditate upon it. Don't forget it. Put it in front of your eyes, day and night. And then, and only then, shalt thou have great success. It starts up in this word, the Bible tells us. Psalm 1 corroborates that. Don't hang around with the sinners and the scorners, amen. Don't hang around with the ungodly. No, 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 no. The man that's going to be blessed, the woman that's going to be blessed, they meditate in my word day and night. They shall be like a river planted by the tree of water, planted by the rivers of water. Wait, wait, wait. They shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in their season. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There is success, greatness when you get in this word. And listen, I'm going to tell you, and me and my little wife talk about it all the time, and I done told it to y'all before at Philly. Listen to me. Listen to me good. Listen, your pastor spends a lot of time in prayer and in the word. I do. I do. It is my first priority. It is my first priority. And I know, amen, that y'all want me to run around and do a lot of things. Y'all might have been at churches where the pastor, he'll be at your son's T-ball game. And then he'll go down there and be at the party down the street. And then he's picking up carpet and doing things over here. I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that. And listen, I'm not about to change either. The Bible says in the book of Acts that when the apostles saw a problem in the church and they needed people to wait the tables and distribute the food, the apostles of old say, look you out, men, for the Holy Spirit, and choose them. Why should we leave the word of God to go wait tables? No, 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 no. They got other people that's in the church that can do this. But for us, we're going to devote ourselves to prayer and to the word of God. Listen, you come here every Sunday and you don't come here for a dead word. You don't come here for a word that I make up while I'm up there. You don't come for a word that I made up this morning, amen, a little something short. You come in for something that's been marinated, something that's been cooking, something with some flavor in it so you can hear the voice of God. If I was going to all the parties and picking up all the carpet, no, I'm going to send the deacons and the ministers. Because that's what the Bible tells me I'm supposed to do. But you know where you're going to find me at? Listen, I'm about to tell y'all my address. You can find me in my closet with my prayer list, with Philadelphia on that, your family on that, your prosperity on that, your blessings on that, that your healing and your health on that, your covering on that, my wife on that, my children on that, my family on that. That's where you're going to find me. And let me tell you one thing. You would prefer me in that closet if you knew. You would prefer me in that. You don't want me vacuuming and picking up stuff. You want me calling down the angels from heaven and the anointing and the blessings upon your life and coming here with a word that's worthy of his most holy name. That's what you would prefer. So you may not see me out there, but I'm going to send some people if y'all need. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the biblical way of pastoring. A lot of my colleagues, they're too busy. I watch them. I talk to them, busy, here, there, busy, 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 busy. Busy little bees. Always something to do, a fire to put out. And God is waiting there saying, don't you want to know my instructions to lead my church? Don't you want to know what I have to say? We could get so caught up in the works of Christ till we forget about the Christ of the works. And then he'd be looking at us and say, you have forgotten your first love. That's the pastor and style of Pastor Omar. Don't mean I ain't gonna show up every now and then. You know. But I'm gonna be in prayer and I'm gonna be in the Word. It's how you do great things for God. It's how His blessings be upon your works. And it's how after you finish something, people go, they had been with Jesus. Here's the last thing, then we're going to go. Fellowship. I'm bumping you up on the steps on how to be great. Make sure you save. Get into prayer daily. Get in that Word. Pastor, I don't understand it. So what? Read it till you understand. You not knowing how to ride a bike didn't stop you from getting on it. No, you rode it till you learn. Amen. And listen, the thing about the Word is even though you don't understand it, God is still working. Even He's working through that Word. Fellowship is the next one. Pastor, I want to be great. You got to pray. You got to get in that Word. You got to fellowship. Fellowship can be broken down into a few different things. Number one, it's a church. You got to get you a church. A church where you say, that's my church. And I'm a member. I'm accountable to them, and they're accountable to me. I'm part of a family. That's fellowship. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so does one man sharpen another. When you get in a fellowship, that's when you're moving into position to receive greatness. That's when it happens. Why? Because you're going to be with Jesus as your fellowship. You say, wait, Jesus is not going to come and be with us while we fellowship. Don't you know your Bible? The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. A lot of y'all want to be long ranger Christians away from the house of God, the house of faith. There's no greatness in that. You got to spend time with Jesus. How do I spend time with Jesus? By being close to the people of Jesus. Hey, God, you got a fellowship. Be a part of a church. Become a member of a church. It ain't no weird thing. You're just coming and you're saying, I'm a member. It ain't no weird thing. This is what you're supposed to do. You become a part of the body. Not a radical just hanging around. You become a part. Not only fellowship and church membership, but after membership, you should plug into a ministry. Whether it be the meals ministry, hospitality, usher, sound booth, cameras, nursery. Oh, God bless you for joining nursery. You get a special blessing and greatness. For nursery. Yes. In all the other ministries we have, you got to plug in now. Now is the time. Plug in. That's fellowship. You're not just coming to church, you're a part of the church. And you're working on behalf of a common goal. You're not just riding on the ship. No, you're a crew member of the ship. When I need something, I know where to call. You ain't on the cruise. You giving the cruise. You in the military here. You fellowship. A membership. Serving in the ministry. You know what I'm saying? Find yourself a 12 group to be a part of. Get a part of the 12. Pastor, us Hebrews don't like all that going to people. How? Break out of that. Break out of that. You need koinonia. Koinonia. Fellowship. Here's the last one. not only plugging into a 12, but on your off days, chill with Christians. Stop chilling with the world. You want to be great. We're going to talk about that Tuesday. Tuesday, that's coming. We're going to talk about friends. You got a fellowship with Christians as your friends. Ain't no great person got. All right. You got a fellowship. Call somebody up. Go to the mall with somebody. Take boxing with Mark and hallelujah, chill with, you know. Fellowship. You see? So saints, listen. They were unlearned. They were ordinary. Regular men and regular women. But they did great things. Great things to make the masses marvel. And the only way they were able to accomplish that is because they had been with Jesus. Be with Jesus this week. If you're not saved, I'm going to call the altar call and you're going to be saved this very moment. If you're a Christian and you ain't been spending time with your Lord, amen, come on up to this altar. I'm going to pray, amen, and that laziness and that bad time management, we're going to get that off you right quick so you can read and pray this week like you ought. If you're here, amen, and God spoke to you any other kind of way, and you say, Pastor, that greatness that you talked about, that's me. I want to be great. Listen, I'm going to open up the altar, and I want to pray a prayer of greatness upon you so that you can do things that's going to make people flip out to the glory of God. Listen, when you hear the music, the altar's going to be open, and you can come and pray with me. Come. Come be saved. Come in. Tell God you're ready for greatness. Even the Christians, y'all come. And let the Lord know. I'm going to spend time with you this week. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to be there for you, God. I'm not going to be a little busy bee. I'm going to take my time. And I'm going to spend time with the Most High. Donovan, that's you? What's up, my brother? Come on here, man. You're a blessing, man. You're a blessing, man. I met this brother when we was buying the car for the campaign, man. Good brother, man. I invited Diamond. And he said, man, he said, Pastor, I'm going to come. He said, it seemed like you a little real. He said, I'm going to come. And I ain't going to tell all your story, but it's a real story that you got. You're a blessing, man. And this sermon is all about people like you doing great things for God. No matter your past, no matter whatever. That's the kind of people he used. And that's what you're going to be. That's what you are. Great. 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 Extraordinary things. Woo! Hallelujah. One day that brother going, I'm going to tell y'all his testimony one day. I got to get his approval first. Amen. But listen to me good. Listen to me good. If you're here, we're going to pray. God's going to do a work in your life, and we're going to pray for greatness on you as well. Say with me now. Say, God, thank you for loving me and not giving up on me. I admit I made some mistakes. And I'm sorry. But I believe that you still love me. And you love me so much that you died on that cross for all my sins. I believe you were buried. And I believe that you rose from the grave. Lord, save me, a sinner. And use me for your glory. I want to be great for your glory. Take me, an ordinary person, and do extraordinary things. And help me, Lord, to spend time with you, to pray, to read, to fellowship with your people. I'm ready, God, for greatness. I'm ready, God, to be used. Here I am. Send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some glory in his house. Give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Saints, I'm going to bless y'all. Y'all did great this week. I'm so proud of y'all. Amen. And to God be the glory for all that he has done. Hallelujah. Brother Donovan, so good to see you, brother. You're a man of your word.